on ABC Radio New South Wales. This is the Country Hour.
And I'm Michael Condon. Coming up on the program, joy and relief at Coles and Aldi finally agreeing to increase the price and bring an end to $1 a litre milk. And we'll have some more details on that shortly. You might want to text us here at the Country Hour, 0467 922 684, about the end of dollar milk. That's certainly what some people are saying today. And also we're hearing about so many camp drafts being cancelled due to the drought. Well, that's not going to happen in Coonamble. It's on for young and old.
Yeah, absolutely. The camp drafting circuit is usually really strong in, you know, New South Wales. In probably the last 2 years, because of the constant dry weather, we haven't had many to go to and not many have run. And even this year, a lot have been cancelled. So, yes, this is a big opportunity to get together, have a few drinks, have a few laughs, meet up with other people, watch some good horses and just enjoy yourselves.
More on that story coming up shortly. You're listening to the New South Wales Country Hour. But first up today, let's talk about dollar milk sold through the national supermarkets. It's no more. And it's been welcomed. It's welcomed now the era of $1.10 per litre of milk at least, because late last night, Coles and Aldi announced that from today they'll join Woolworths and charge more for milk, promising that that extra 10 cents per litre will go back to farmers. Warwick Long is speaking here to CEO of Australian Dairy Farmers, David Innell, who was pretty happy.
Look, this is just fantastic news. It's a great next step after we saw Woolworths lead the way this time last month. We really now just have IGA as the next step, and we look like we might be there.
How, I suppose, significant for your industry is it to have an end to dollar milk?
Look, you know, it's just been a flagship project for this industry for now 8 years, and there's been a lot of organisations right across the country that have put an enormous amount of effort into just keeping the message going, just keep banging the drum, the importance of dairy farming, the importance of dairy communities, dairy farming families. They can't have their price, the price of their product, just frozen at the back of their store forever, and now it looks like we're seeing this change.
Will you make sure this extra money, this extra 20 cents for 2 litres, 30 cents for 3 litres, is passed on to farms?
Absolutely, we'll do everything we can. We will be going back to Coles today, and we will make that contact and just see what role they would like us to play. We presume, of course, that they have the auditing in place and those relationships with their processors that are supplying the milk. No doubt they have developed a system and prepared an auditing approach that ensures that money is passed back in full, and we'll play whatever role we can to ensure that that occurs.
Will the extra money save dairy farms in a difficult season?
There's no doubt it's a good start, and we know that there's many other dairy farmers who aren't supplying these contracts who are still in a tough spot. It's only a few hundred dairy farmers I understand that'll be supplying Coles contracts. There are many others in the industry that are involved in supplying milk that builds other products in the dairy cabinet. So there's a much wider and deeper conversation around the value of dairying that we're still to have. But this was always in the way to having that discussion with retailers. And now it looks like this might be behind us, and now we can move on and have other discussions.
David Innell, that is the CEO of Australian Dairy Farmers. Just send us a text on what seems to be the demise of dollar milk, 0467 922 684. What's your reaction to that? And Dairy Cooperative Norco is one of two processors with contracts with Coles, the other being Saputo, to supply its milk for its home brand milk products. Norco had recently informed its suppliers of a 6.5 centilitre increase in the farm gate price, but some of the Coles 10 cent increase may already be factored into that price lift. Kim Honan spoke a short time ago to Chairman and Acting CEO Greg McNamara about the news announced by Coles and Aldi.
It's fantastic news for the industry as a whole. So we're certainly working through the detail now of what that actually means, because it's the Coles business is only about 30% of our business, a third of it pretty much. So we've got to look at every customer we've got to try and work through that process of getting as much back to farmers as we possibly can.
How much of that 10 cent increase do you think will go back to Norco suppliers?
Of the money that Coles have talked about, my understanding is that they'll be looking for that whole 10 cents to actually go back to the Norco suppliers or suppliers that supply Coles.
Okay, and so has that been factored into Norco's 6.5 centilitre increase that you've announced will take place from the 1st of April for 3 months?
Yeah, some of that has, because we started that process with Coles almost 2 months ago around trying to put a price increase through. So we took that 6.5 right across every customer that we actually had it in the business. So every customer took a price increase in around 6.5 cents a litre. So Coles was one of them. They chose not to raise the price, but where that themselves, which is quite kind of them, really, in one respect. Now they've come out and said we're going to change it, and so 2 litre milk will go from $2 to $2.20, and 3 litre milk will go from $3 to $3.30. And so we're just working through that detail with Coles around what. So we've got the generic piece with our business supplying them, and then we've got a branded piece that we actually supply. So when someone goes to buy a Norco product in Coles or any other retailer, then we will have a separate negotiation besides that negotiation we had on generics.
Okay, so will we see a price rise of Norco branded products?
It's highly likely, yes.
Yeah, by how much?
We haven't worked through that detail yet.
Okay, so were you shocked at all by this announcement by Coles last night?
Yeah, we had no indication of it early. We'd certainly been... this has been an industry approach, so the Australian Dairy Farmers Group, our peak body for the industry, have been working on this for many months. Many state bodies have been working on it also, and I know Norco's been, certainly since last July, we've been putting a proposition to Coles that we think that some price increases need to be put through, and in September, October, November, they were very good with that, and they actually took a price increase. And then we've did that again. We had that conversation around the 6.5 cents a litre going forward for April, May and June, and we've been fortunate to get that, but now we've actually got the 10 cents, so we've just got to work through that detail about what does that actually mean to our farmers, and when can we start that program.
Well, it's been a good 8 years since Coles introduced dollar milk. What sort of damage do you think it has done to the industry?
Well, it's certainly reduced farmers' confidence. And I think, and from Norco's perspective, we weren't at the start of supplying Coles at the beginning of that, and then we actually created the relationship with Coles. We took a 3.5 centilitre price increase at that point, and that certainly gave us a kick, but that's almost 5 years ago since that happened. So we now actually need to make sure that we get our farmers back on track with some finance to actually help them get in, get back into their planting season, feeding their cows, with the ryegrasses and the clovers that they should be doing in the winter period.
Do you have any idea how much of the Norco milking herds have actually been sold off or sent to the meatworks?
Yeah, we did some work, started in August doing that work, and very early on, farmers are very astute in the sense that they know when the dry weather comes, they've actually got to have less cows. Otherwise, if you're in a loss situation, you're actually just building a bigger loss. So we think about somewhere between 25% and 30% of the herd was sold off some months ago, and that just continued. The question will be whether they've built their young herd to come through. So, you know, it takes 2 years to take a calf from a calf that's born today to actually get into the dairy herd. So what replacement stock have they got on hand, and did they actually sell those?
Now, the 6.5 cent a litre increase, you've said that you will revise that in June. Norco suppliers have said to me that, you know, it'll take at least 75 cents a litre before they start to get a smile on their face, that they really need 80 cents to take home a wage. Can you see Norco ever offering a price like that?
Well, I think 6 months ago, if someone said we're going to take a 6.5 cent a litre price increase for 3 months and potentially do it for the next 12 months, I don't think people would have believed you, so I'm not sure. It'll actually get back to how the industry can recover and whether farmers can rebuild their herds quick enough to actually do that. So it's certainly an interesting time for us in the dairy sector.
Okay, so when do you think you'll know how much farmers will receive from this 10 centilitre increase?
Well, we're certainly, as a management team today, meeting to have a discussion around it and then actually working through the detail of it. It's quite a balanced piece around. We know when we actually put the 6.5 cents a litre, we lost some customers. Some customers actually said, well, look at our alternatives. So we've actually got a balance about how what customers we may lose or what customers we may pick up. And it's not that volume that we lost wasn't dramatic, but we're not prepared to actually sell milk for a loss in the current circumstances. We need to make sure that customers are paying the right price to have those ongoing supplies, and we've got to look after those customers that have been we've been supplying for many, many years.
Greg McNamara is Chairman and Acting CEO of Norco. On the Country Hour, it's a 12:15. We're talking dairy, the 10-cent increase, 10-cent a litre increase that's been announced by Coles and Aldi. Someone's texted in saying, as a dairy farmer supplying Coles, I'm relieved and delighted that the $1 a litre milk is finally being ditched. And Graham's texted in saying, farmers had a meeting with Mr. Littleproud and Mr. Joyce near Shepparton yesterday. They were hammered on water and milk and had no answers. New Zealand are paying $3.35 a litre for milk, and it's $1.20 here? We were bitterly disappointed in the answers we received from the questions that we asked from the two politicians. We wondered why they turned up. It was so bad, he says. 8 years in power, and the dairy industry is turning to dust right now, according to Graham. And Brian's texted in to say some of the listeners might be surprised that when he visited an Aldi store in the UK last week, he found that milk was being sold for 48 pence a litre, which is less than an Australian dollar. Not sure what that says about the global dairy industry, that one from Brian. And Lance has texted in saying, without legislation, there's no guarantee that the 10 cent a litre increase will go back to the farmers. And also Kim's texted in saying milk prices sound a bit like Bitcoin, too good to be true. We'll have to wait and see. And I guess Kim's really saying wait and see whether that increase is there to stay. On the Country Hour, it's 12:16. You can keep sending in texts about the milk price. Quite a few there still to get through. 0467 922 684 is the number to text us here at the Country Hour. Well, Sean Morgan from Dairy Connect says the announcement on the milk price increase by Coles and Aldi is great news, but he says it's just a start. He says the industry is in crisis and farmers are losing money or working for nothing. He says much more work needs to be done to rescue the dairy industry.
As you know, they're currently experiencing devastating drought, skyrocketing energy prices, high fodder costs. This all contributes to the dairy industry going through a very difficult time. And so this decision is very welcomed and follows on that of Woolworths that was done last month.
So I guess the thing is that it's the beginning of change. You've broken the nexus of the dollar milk, fair to say that?
It is indeed, and it's such an important nexus to break. It's been there since 2011. It's a price that just undervalues the dairy industry, undervalues the dairy farmer, and undervalues nutritious milk. So it's a great to see that the major supermarket chains have come out and increased their home brand milk by this extra 10 cents, and also more importantly, making sure that full 10 cents flows back to their dairy farmer supplier.
The other issue too is that, talk about cost of production, people saying, oh, this takes it up to sort of 70 cents. Some people are saying, well, 80 cents is where you start to make a slim profit, possibly, depending on where your dairy farm is. But really, people talking about, it has to be over a dollar a litre before you can actually really be paying people a decent wage.
Absolutely. Dairy Connect has continually advocated that this is just one component of a suite of reforms that we need to see implemented. The current farm gate price is far too low. It's not allowing them to be able to pay the bills as they become due. And this is just causing great grief and heartache for the dairy farmer out there. Mental health and other component issues continue to raise their head. And we in the industry need to be fully aware of that. And programs such as Country Hour are able to highlight that. We need to be able to look at other ways that we can find solutions to the problems that the industry is currently confronting. The dairy industry is in dire straits. This is one component, a first step, an important step, but only one component of where we need to now go to continue to ensure the long-term sustainability of the dairy industry, not just for the current crop of dairy farmers, but for future generations. We do not want to be importing milk from overseas. And New South Wales being a fresh milk state, we want to make sure that we are able to have nutritious milk in the supermarkets, regionally based, every single day of the year.
But I guess the issue is competition. The issue is about supermarkets in the past being criticised for paying as low a price as they possibly can for staples like bread and milk. And honestly, how do you actually put pressure on them to pay what is a fair price, so we don't end up seeing our industry go down the toilet and we start importing milk from overseas.
Milk and bread are food staples. Every single day, consumers and customers go into supermarkets, and the core components of what they buy is bread and milk, and that then leads on to them to purchase other products within the supermarket. The supermarket chains, I think, have come to realise the importance of being able to pay a fair price for fresh produce. But more importantly, the processors have an important role to play in this too. The supermarkets, yes, set the price at the retail price point, but we've got to make sure the processors, in their discussions with retailers, ensure a price that is able to flow back through them to the farmer, and that the farm gate price is at a level that is above the cost of production. And this is where robust discussion needs to start to occur. Minister Little Proudhon announcing that their cabinet have agreed to the introduction of the Mandatory Code on 1 July next year, a great commitment, and it's great to see that that will finally come into play. It will hopefully ensure that milk supply agreements are fair, transparent, and restore trust within the industry, trust that had been destroyed back in 2016 with Fonterra and Murray Goulburn. What I think that this will do is enable a farm gate price that can be robustly discussed between the parties. The Mandatory Code's not a panacea, but like the other components of the reform that Dairy Connect has been advocating for, it is a suite of issues that we need to continue to push, and with the federal election coming up after the state election in New South Wales, Dairy Connect will be calling upon both Minister Little Proud and the Shadow Minister Joel Fitzgibbon to ensure that they come out and find solutions to the structural problems, the market failure that the dairy industry is currently experiencing. And Dairy Connect will be there to assist.
So who would you have as the watchdog? I mean, the ACCC, they're more along the consumer side. We've seen that. Who would you have as a watchdog to keep the processors and the supermarkets honest?
Well, I think there's a call, as in New South Wales, both the opposition and government in this state have agreed to the implementation of a dairy advocate. I think that there is great merit for such a position being created at a federal sphere. You're quite right, Michael. The ACCC doesn't have in its title anything about producer. It has competition and consumer. What we need to ensure is that we have a person at the federal sphere that can oversee the states and ensure that we have a relationship between the dairy farmer and the processor that in itself is being able to be open and transparent and has milk supply agreements that ensure a fair and higher farm gate price. That dairy commissioner or ombudsman, if you wish, could provide that advice to dairy farmers about what are the issues associated with the contract. How do they go about getting collective bargaining? What are the issues that they need to look at if they need to go to mediation? And therefore, both the government at a federal sphere and the federal opposition need to look at this as being part of that suite of reforms to overcome the structural problems that the industry is currently facing, and it was highlighted in the releases by Coles and Aldi.
Sean Morgan from Dairy Connect there talking about setting up some sort of federal dairy advocate. You're listening to The Country Hour, 23 minutes past 12. Got a text in from Barnaby. I don't know whether it's that Barnaby, but he's saying, hang on, we've been fighting to get rid of dollar milk a litre, and now Graham from Shepparton is still not happy. It's what the dairy farmers at Nowra have asked for last week, and now we've got it, says Barnaby. And someone's texted in to say, Bob at Armidale said on the milk price, he's never paid more than $1,500 for a vehicle, as he doesn't care about appearances, as long as it's safe and reliable. $1,500, don't know whether it would be safe and reliable, Bob. But anyway, he says, as an aspiring scientist working on reversing climate change, he says he lives well below the poverty line. However, he's prepared to pay $2.25 a litre or more for good quality non-homogenised milk, and he's happy to do so when he can feel like he's getting a safe and reliable product. And he's getting one from producers that he trusts. And he also makes the comment, federal ICAC, please. On the Country Hour, it's 24 minutes past 12. Well, let's hear a bit about what the dairy farmers are saying. Dairy farmer Vanessa Todd is a Coles supplier based in Badalla in New South Wales, and she told Josh Becker that the news has been a long time coming and very welcome.
I think it's fantastic. It's what farmers have been pushing for a long time. It's It's just soul destroying to have your product that's sold for such a low figure.
And what will this milk increase mean to you at the farm gate?
I'm not actually sure. Unfortunately, again, dairy farmers have to keep the pressure on the processors, and Dairy Connect and some of our other farming organisations are continuously working with the processors to make sure that the increase from both Woolworths, Coles and Aldi is passed directly on to the farmer at the farm gate.
And with this change, do you think it can be put down to customers or politicians or farmers? What do you think's forced the change?
Oh, Josh, I think it's the continuous lobbying from, you know, a small group of dairy farmers that have really been working behind the scenes and knocking on doors and constantly saying you just cannot keep undervaluing our product.
I mean, this will affect hundreds of dairy farmers, but it won't affect the whole industry. Is there other structural change that you'd like to see addressed in the dairy industry?
Oh, there has to be huge structural changes for the dairy industry going forward if you do not get a change in the structure of the way Australian dairy farmers are paid. Again, we will continuously have falling milk prices and dairy farmers leaving.
Dairy farmer Vanessa Todd speaking there to Josh Becker about some of the issues still facing the industry. Well, let's look at a bit of analysis now. The cheapest milk in Australia, as we know, just got 10% more expensive with today's announcement from Coles and Aldi. They're joining in with Woolworths in charging more for milk. All supermarkets are promising to pass on the extra money to dairy farmers in full. But how did we get to this space? Well, Warwick Long reports on the long, drawn-out dollar milk debate.
Australia Day 2011 was the genesis of dollar milk. It began as a marketing ploy by Coles, who were actually matching a price set by a new, smaller player, Aldi, who nobody really took much notice of at the time. Woolworths quickly followed, and dollar milk was set. The outrage from dairy farmers was immediate, and for more than 8 years, they've been fighting to end the practice of selling milk so cheaply. Woolworths were the first to move when 1 month ago they announced they would permanently charge more for milk. Coles and Aldi then came under fire from dairy farmers and the Agriculture Minister to do the same. They refused. The Agriculture Minister, David Littleproud, even went so far as to suggest people boycott the supermarkets. And there have been yet more protests from farmers at supermarket doors. Today, Coles and Aldi change. Both will now charge more for milk. Coles have said in a statement,
"In support of Australia's dairy farmers, Coles supermarkets will increase the price of 2-litre and 3-litre Coles brand milk by 10 cents per litre starting from the 20th of March. Coles is currently paying dairy processors the highest farm gate milk prices in 4 years without passing on the added expense to customers. However, it is clear that many dairy farmers, particularly in northern Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland, are struggling as a result of drought. As an interim measure, Coles will increase the price of 2 litres of Coles brand milk to $2.20 and 3 litres of Coles brand milk to $3.30 in most Coles supermarkets."
Aldi quickly released a statement following the move.
"From Wednesday the 20th of March 2019, Aldi Australia will increase the price of 2 litre and 3 litre Farmdale fresh milk by 20 cents and 30 cents respectively, with these additional proceeds being passed on to dairy farmers in full. This solution is a short-term measure and will allow our processors to immediately pass additional funds to their dairy farmers outside of normal seasonal adjustments at the conclusion of the current season."
Australians drink 1.2 billion litres of milk per year. Approximately 696 million litres was sold as dollar milk through supermarkets last year. Even at 10 cents per litre more, that will mean close to an extra $70 million being injected into the dairy industry. And they didn't have to. Coles have a contract with Saputo, the buyer of Murray Goulburn, to supply the milk that's usually sold for a dollar until 2024. So the product could have stayed. Small, family-based dairy processing operation Kai Valley Dairy in northern Victoria supplies Aldi with some of its dollar milk product that sells under the label Farmdale. Despite that business relationship, Wayne Mulcahy, who is a director of Kai Valley Dairies, says the end of dollar milk is fantastic for the dairy industry.
It's a great day for the dairy industry. The dollar milk hopefully is now behind us. Given the tough times that all farmers are going through at the moment with the drought conditions, it's great that the supermarkets have all now been able to recognise that by increasing the price.
You supply Aldi with some of their Farmdale milk, their dollar milk. Will you be passing on the increased price to your farmers?
Absolutely. Yes, no, Aldi made it very clear, and we totally agree with it, that the full 10 cents that the consumers are paying extra for the milk will flow directly to the milk suppliers.
Wayne Mulcahy from Kai Valley Dairies, ending that report from Warwick Long. You're listening to the New South Wales Country Hour. It's 12:30. It's time to get some news headlines from Helen Zaremas. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael. The first burials for victims of the two mass shootings at mosques in New Zealand are taking place in Christchurch. 50 people were killed and dozens injured in the terrorist attack by a lone Australian gunman last Friday. Police in the state's north are investigating the death of a woman who suffered a cardiac arrest during a natural therapy procedure. The 39-year-old from Mullumbimby died earlier this month after being given a substance called Cambo. Australian dairy farmers say the decision of major supermarkets to scrap dollar a litre milk will help keep them afloat. From today, Coles and Aldi will lift the price of their home brand milk by 10 cents a litre. Woolworths has already done so. And the Murray-Darling Basin authorities issued a warning that water flows into the system may be well down in coming months. The authority says dams are very low across the catchment after a hot, dry summer, with many down to just 25% capacity. More news at one, Michael.
And less than that in a number of those big dams in the north too. They're really, really low, so it is scary. It's scary. Uncharted territory, they say, the Murray-Darling Basin Authority. When I was talking to Philip Glyde recently, yes, very disturbing. Now, you'll be interested in this. We were asking earlier of some texts, Helen, and Barnaby Joyce texted in. Well, it is, in fact, Barnaby Joyce who texted in about the dairy milk price, and he sent us a photo as well from his car.
I hope he was stationary.
So he obviously that's right. Exactly. Good point. And you can see he's got his seatbelt on as well.
Oh, good.
But anyway, so there you go. So he's obviously listening to the Country Hour. I thought you'd be interested in that.
Hi, Barnaby.
So you can say hi, wave from Helen Zaremas. You're listening to the New South Wales Country Hour. Thanks, Helen.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you later. Helen Zaremas there with the news headlines coming up at 1 o'clock. Let's find out what's happening with the weather details. Jake Phillips at the Bureau. Good afternoon, Jake.
Good afternoon, Michael.
So has all that rain, the hit and miss rain we saw in the last few days, has that all moved through now?
Oh, for the most part, we're still seeing showers near the coast, and the totals over the last day or so, well, they haven't been too spectacular. A few spots have seen around 30 to 40 millimetres, particularly up around Coffs Harbour and also parts of the Illawarra, but they have still been fairly hit and miss, and they taper off pretty rapidly as you move away from the coast. So it's pretty unlikely we'll see any more of those really high totals that we saw on the weekend and early this week.
Which, as you say, we're in the more of the elevated area or on the coast.
For the most part, that's right, yeah. Mm.
And looking further ahead, heating up a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's already pretty hot in the west of the state today, and that'll be the pattern for the next few days, particularly the northwest. So some of those areas will be up to 8 or 10 degrees above average for this time of year, and nudging on the 40-degree mark for parts up around Tipperborough and surrounds, Whitecliffs and those sorts of areas the next few days.
Which you do see in March, but not that often.
Not as often as January, of course, but that's right. We're still getting towards the edge of that season.
Now, everyone wants to know about this promise of some rain maybe on Monday, or what are we looking at? What's the forecast now?
Yeah, look, that's a tricky one. So let's start with the current time, and for the next couple of days, we'll see a few more of those showers east of the divide, mainly nearer the coast. There is a broad trough over the west at present, but the humidity levels out that way are not really high enough to be likely to trigger any shower or thunderstorm activity. Things will change a little bit on Friday. That inland trough is expected to deepen a little bit in response to an approaching upper-level system, and then it'll drift across western and southern parts of the state during the first half of the weekend. So that looks like bringing a bit more shower activities to some parts of the south later Friday and Saturday, more likely the southeast, but it could extend into parts west of the divide a little bit. So probably southern tablelands, southwest slopes, maybe parts of the Riverina and some parts of the central west might see a bit more shower activity on Friday and Saturday, but it will be rather hit and miss, so it doesn't look like it's going to be particularly uniform. But moving into next week, that's the system which we'll be keeping a close eye on. Well, there's a couple of systems, actually. It looks like a fairly powerful cold front will move through southern parts of the state later Monday and then through remaining areas on Tuesday. And at the same time, it looks like we'll have the remnants of what is currently Tropical Cyclone Trevor over northern Queensland. The remnants of that look like they'll move southwards through central parts of the country during the later part of the weekend and early in the new week. So depending on how these systems move, there's a potential for some rainfall over New South Wales of a more widespread nature as we head into the early part of next week. But there's considerable variation in our computer models at the moment as to whether or not that'll be in New South Wales or be restricted to Queensland or other areas. So we can't say with any certainty at all at this stage, but it's definitely one that we'll be watching closely.
Okay, so it's a bit too early to say. And
way too early, unfortunately, okay. But
yeah, it's
definitely
a shame.
System of interest.
Everyone was getting a little bit excited. We might be seeing some the Monday, Tuesday, but
look, let's hope that we can deliver that. But yeah, at this stage, it'd be too speculative,
okay,
I'm afraid.
Still a bit of a question mark over that. Okay,
absolutely.
Well, we'll have to keep watching and keep looking at the charts and talking to the Bureau at 12:30 as we do here on the Country Hour. Yeah, thanks very much for that, Jake.
No worries, we'll keep you updated.
Terrific. Jake Phillips at the Bureau there. It's 24 minutes to one here on the New South Wales Country Hour. Well, let's have a look at some of these texts, and Wally's texted in to say, it's insulting our dairy farmers that the major supermarkets are throwing crumbs at them, he says, with this 10 centilitre increase. It should be an increase that would actually do some good. In stark contrast, Coles have recently jacked up their $8 per kilo beef mince to $9. And beef prices down at the stock sales big time, says Wally. So Coles increasing their beef prices by whole dollars, not mere cents. That increase goes straight back into Coles' pockets. And also do the same with milk, he says, and give that full dollar back to the farmers. Another text has come in saying 10 cents is not enough. It needs to go up to a dollar or more for milk in order for dairy farmers to be making enough money and or making a decent living. And this person's texted in to say people will still pay it. And Brian says, how the hell are we paying $3 or $4 for 600 mils of bottled water and $1.10 for milk? For a litre, something is wrong, says Brian. John says, if milk is sold by the supermarket at, say, $2.20 for 2 litres, how much is taken by the processors and what does the farmer actually receive? Well, there's actually a chart and some detail of that on our website. If you check out the ABC website, looking at the milk prices, there's actually a chart that was put together a couple of weeks ago. A story on the internet in regards to that. John, you can check out the details. Just can't remember off the top of my head what those prices were. And Mix texted in saying it took public pressure to change the milk price. Why are we as a country paying the exorbitant wages, etc., for their inexcusable denial to act and then turn a blind eye to the milk price? I think Mick might be referring to politicians there. Yes, he is. He's saying politicians, we're paying them big wages and for their inexcusable denial to act and turn a blind eye to the milk price. We might get a response from Barnaby on the text to that one as well. It's the text, just to remind you, the text here into the country, 0467 922 684 is the number to text us here at the Country Hour. Someone's saying Barnaby should be available for a Q&A on the whole hour of the Country Hour. Well, yeah, we can try and set that up. We have had him here in a debate in regards to the federal election a few years ago on the Country Hour with a few other candidates. And Jack's texted in to say dollar milk, it's a tiny glimpse of the way of the rubbish way that supermarkets have been treating all suppliers. And he also makes the comment about beef prices and lamb prices. And he says they're not reflecting what's happening at the sale yards at the moment. That one from Jack. It's 21 minutes to one here on the New South Wales Country Hour. Well, a trout fishery in the Snowy Mountains has lost 30,000 fish due to high river temperatures and low rainfall. The New South Wales Department of Primary Industries, which oversees the Gaydon Trout Hatchery outside of Jindabyne, confirmed the loss and confirmed that it had occurred when the Thredbo River hit temperatures of 28.5 degrees around the 26th of January. Primary Industries Minister Noel Blair says there have been some trying conditions over summer, and that hasn't spared the snowy mountains.
So we have seen a number of trout that we've lost in our gate and hatchery, and that's because of the high water temperatures that we saw around Australia Day. We can still cope with this though. We've been able to still stock a number of trout into Lake Jindabyne and Newcombeen, and we know that we'll be able to continue on with the brood stock that we have still in the facility.
Was the news a surprise to you?
No, unfortunately we've seen fish kills right around the state over this summer, and that's what happens when you get higher water temperatures, particularly with a species like trout. I mean, remembering these are an introduced species here into New South Wales, and they don't handle warm water temperatures very well. So that is something that we have seen before. We did everything that we could do to try and limit the losses, particularly in our hatchery, brought in aerators and tried to cool the water. We also brought forward the release of a number of our finlings into the lakes because we knew that the lake temperature was lower than what we saw in our hatchery, and we expect those finlings to be able to survive and continue to play a role in what is a really important fishery in New South Wales. As a trout fisherman myself, I know the sort of impact and the attraction that we have from our hatcheries like Gaydon releasing those trout into some of our in some of our waters, and it brings big tourism dollars as well. So we'll continue to support our trout industry here in New South Wales and support recreational fishing right across the board.
Talking about the fish kill there in Jindabyne, the Gaydon Trout Hatchery, that's Noel Blair, the Primary Industries Minister. You're listening to The Country Hour. It's 19 minutes to one, and Dave has texted in to say he's a macadamia farmer on the northern rivers of New South Wales, and he's got one friend in the area who's a dairy farmer providing to Norco. He says he'd be happy to pay $2 a litre for milk so that our dairy farmers can survive. He can't imagine the prices, let alone the quality of milk that we would see if we were forced to import milk and milk products from overseas. And Adams texted in to say he pays $2.90 a litre for milk from a dairy farm outside of Dubbo. So he's prepared to pay $2.90 a litre for his milk because he knows where it comes from and the quality of the milk that he's getting. It's 18 minutes to one.
Working on farm is fantastic because every day is a different challenge and no day is the same. You're listening to The Country Hour.
And Mal's texted in to say those pesky Thredbo cotton farmers are killing the fish. And also someone's texted in saying, yes, we should get Barnaby on the program. And we've got a text from Barnaby saying he'd be available to do a bit of a Q&A. Probably, I would say, we will organise that in the lead-up to the federal election. We'll get a few pollies on and have a bit of a round table here on the New South Wales Country Hour. Well, let's turn our attention to sheep now. And the achievements of 19 years of research and development by the Sheep CRC are on the table at the organisation's final conference in Dubbo this week. It's an opportunity for the industry to reflect on the huge gains made, most notably in applied genomics, but also in wool wearability. Former National Party leader Ian Sinclair was the chairman of the CRC in its formation in 2001 and performed the official opening ceremony yesterday, and he caught up with Sally Bryant.
I think in spite of the opposition and division in the industry, it's remarkable they have produced so many positive outcomes, so many technologies that are adapted and can be adopted by every sheep grower and every processor, so that the industry itself has not only benefited by its contributions, they've shown that the Commonwealth money has given that additional momentum that's produced outstanding results in what, in general terms, actually a relatively short time.
It also underlines, in a time when government contribution to scientific endeavour is sometimes criticised for not being quite robust enough, it also underlines how strong science can be applied within an industry.
It does, but it depends on the nature of the science. Science, obviously, has to have a practical relationship to people's understanding. And people, I mean, consumers, those who are practitioners, whatever the area might be. People will support expenditure if they can see results. One of the criticisms, for example, of so many scientific analyses that are made around the place is that the results go into a pigeonhole somewhere and they're hidden away, and those who might be able to apply them know nothing of them.
So then is it less a question of a criticism of the scientists and perhaps more work needs to be done on applying that science, say, for example, the way the CRC has done?
Well, that certainly is, if it can be done. I mean, the trouble is there is basic research and there's applied research. And applied research is, in some instances, frowned down on. It's thought as being too much out there in the commercial area. But the two very much relate to each other. Basic research is essential. But you want to also have practical research if you're going to get the taxpayer to say, yes, that's a good investment.
And this is the issue, isn't it? Because we're seeing here the end of the CRC. What is the future going to look like for industry research, and do we run the risk of vested interests taking it over?
Not necessarily. I think that because of the nature of the practical application of the Sheep CRC's work, hopefully it will continue to be not just one particular application by one producer, manufacturer, processor or sheep breeder. It will be something that's shared. And the big thing about the Sheep CRC is it's been cooperative amongst most of the players. Unfortunately, AWI has seen itself as being a bit apart, and a few vested interests feel that they might, as a result of these research outcomes, be prejudicing their own operations. I don't agree with that. I think that quite the reverse would be the case. If they are as good as they believe them to be, and I believe them to have been, there's no reason for them to be apprehensive. Quite the reverse. It would put them at a scientific peak of achievement as well as a prejudicial peak of achievement.
And at the first day of this conference, there have been a few caustic remarks made about AWI's reluctance to keep funding the CRC, and they're separating themselves. What do you think the way forward is? Do you think there is room for AWI to come back to the fold?
Of course there is. In fact, there are great opportunities for AWI and for wool growers. I mean, the big advantage of the AWI stance is that wool has been so volatile over a long period of time. And what wool AWI really wants is a permanent future, not one that has these extraordinary peaks and then bottoms out and you can't sell it. And then part of that is that it hasn't any practical means of recording the product. And the CRC has said, look, there are practical means by which you can measure the value of your product. And if you do that, then you're going to be better off, wool growers are going to be better off, and wool will have a long-term future. All of us remember the days when the synthetics came on the market and everybody said the game's up. Fortunately, that's not been so, but a lot of it for the future is going to depend on there being able to be practical means of measuring and recording and presenting why wool is good.
Ian Sinclair is a former Federal Nationals leader and founding chairman of the Australian Sheep Cooperative Research Centre. They're finishing up after their 19 years of research and development. You're listening to The Country Hour. It's 12 minutes to one. A few more texts have come in. And also Chris Groves from Cowra has texted in saying he wants to congratulate the current Sheep CRC. He says he's proud of its achievements, and congratulations to James and the board. He says it's a job very well done. On the concept of getting Barnaby on the program to have a chat in the lead-up to the election, Jenny from Gadooga says that she's a Country Hour listener. She doesn't want to hear from Barnaby ever again. She never wants to listen to him ever again. Well, he is an elected Member of Parliament, Jenny. And also someone's texted in, the irony on the trout is that there's no shortage of effort for what is actually a destructive feral fish. That one from Tony. On the country hour, it's 11 minutes to one. Well, let's turn our attention now to Inland Rail. And the Member for Parks has called for calm, as some farmers are calling for an independent inquiry into the business case and the alignment of the Inland Rail. Some who've signed access agreements say they're preparing to tear them up. Others say they'll no longer be agreeing to access negotiations. But Mark Coulton told the ABC's Hayley Craig that would not be a wise course of action, and that farmers he's spoken to are understanding about the process.
A lot of the farmers that I speak to understand the benefits of the project. They understand that it will inconvenience them, but they are working through the process of compensation and the final route selection. And I think it's very poor advice to encourage people not to engage in the process. This line will be built. There has been extensive research done as to the suitability of that corridor, and we want to make sure that the farmers that are affected are compensated, but also that they have input as to where the final route, the final line goes within that broader corridor. So I think there are, obviously, I know some farmers are not happy with the process, and some farmers are not happy to have the project through their properties, but that's certainly not all farmers.
Okay. Do you think the farmers are being influenced by lobby groups, or they're just genuinely concerned?
No. I think there's no doubt this is a major impact on their lives, and I think that everyone reacts differently to these sorts of things, and some people are impacted more than others, and some people are different parts of their life, some people have different family circumstances. All those things play in as to how people are affected and how they react. So I certainly am not have any ill will to bad farmers that are dealing with this. This is a major project. I just think that if they are getting advice not to engage with the ARTC, I personally think that's the wrong advice. So I think if it was coming through my property, I'd be wanting to have an open discussion so that I could have input as to where it might go within that corridor that had the minimal impact on the way that I operate my farm.
Mark Alden, who's a member for Parks. Well, the camp draft scene is, like all of us, under a bit of pressure from the drought at the moment. And given that camp draft weekend is a great way to get off the farm and blow off some steam, and in a bad season, it makes it even more frustrating that we're seeing quite a few of them cancelled. So there's going to be some smiles on faces at the news that the Coonamble camp draft is going to go ahead next weekend. And local vet Gillian Kelly is on the organising committee.
It's a great event. Not only do we draw competitors and people from all over, you know, many different states, it's a good opportunity for locals to come in, to get off the farm, come together, you know, have a drink, watch some great competition and just enjoy themselves.
Your community's really laid it down. You had the Coonamble rain dance, that went off like a frog in a sock, and now you're backing up to do this.
Yeah, if there's one thing Coonamble's good at, it's good at having little hard-working committees. It's good at throwing together really spirited events. And this is actually the flow-on effects from the rain dance, because the people who supported the rain dance financially, the money from that flowed over and supported the Coonamble Challenge and Camp Draft. So the rain dance is one of the reasons we're able to run. It's such a big event now, it's 4 days. So we're starting on next Thursday, the 28th of March, going right through until the Sunday. And the competition will start at dawn and finish well after dark each day. Not only is it a camp draft, which most people out this way would have seen before, it's a Stockman's Challenge. We're the only affiliated Stockman's Challenge in New South Wales, and we're one of the five major challenges around the country. So that's why we drag people from the Northern Territory, Queensland, Victoria to come, because it's so sought after. A Stockman's Challenge has two components, a dry work component and a wet work component. The wet work component's fairly much like camp drafting. The other component is, one way to describe it is Stockman's dressage. So it's, you know, riding horse, cracking a whip, a series of turns and spins and, you know, fast stops and things like that. It's pretty exciting to watch.
So that real fine horsemanship, except in a western saddle rather than a dressage saddle.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you can really pick the good riders. It's a true display of horsemanship. In addition to the Stockman's Challenge and the Camp Draft, we were also running the Colt Starting Competition for the second year in a row, which drew a huge crowd last year and was so good to watch.
And that is fantastic, because this is a great opportunity for people to see that managing horses has changed so much over the years. We just don't break a horse anymore, do we?
No, it really is about gentling, and it really is about using different techniques that are particular for that type of horse and its personality and its behaviour. And we've actually worked really hard this year to source three top horse trainers from right around the country. We've got one from Caboolture, one from Winton, and one from down near Sydney that all use different methods. So they'll all be using their individual methods. You'll get to see them on display. It's really, really fascinating to watch.
It's in terms of the Coonamble Camp Draft, it is on again. It hasn't been cancelled, and that was a local vet, Gillian Kelly. Let's go to markets now. Casino Cattle and Doug Robson.
Good afternoon. Welcome rain in the past week resulted in numbers falling to just 553 head. The yarding of young cattle consisted mainly of weaners, a few pens of vealers and yearlings. Quality was mixed in a market that saw restocker weaner steers sell 20 to 30 cents dearer. Some of the better bred steers were more. They ranged from 134 to 242 cents. Restocker weaner heifers gained some ground, although the light plain heifers saw little change. Most sales sold from 90 cents to 171. Trade vealers firmed to 10 cents dearer, 142 to a top of 232 cents for a Nod Butcher Vealer. Trade yearling steers were slightly dearer, 177 to 259, and the heifers 160 to 217. The small penning of cows were 20 to 30 cents dearer, although some of the light cows saw a little change. They ranged from 60 cents to 139. Medium weight cows sold from 145 to 175, and best of the heavy cows, 178 to 194 cents. This is Doug Robson at Casino.
To Carcor Sheep and Lambs, David Monk.
Good afternoon. Numbers are back by 3,500 for a yarding of 4,600 lambs. It was a much plainer quality yarding with not the numbers of shorn trade weight lambs compared to previous sales. There were a few pens of heavyweight chartered and only limited numbers of new season lambs. Lightweight lambs to the processors were $3 dearer, with the 12 to 18 kilogram two scores selling from 80 to 118. Trade lambs were firmed to $3 cheaper with quality a factor. The 18 to 23 kilogram three score old lamb sold from 120 to 155 to average between 615 and 630 cents a kilogram. Pennyweight lambs were around firm with the over 23 kilogram four scores selling from 144 to 180. Restocker lambs were cheaper on quality with the better type selling from 130 to 138. Pockets sold to 140. There were 4,900 mostly good quality sheep yarded with most grades were 7 to 9 dearer. Two score ewes sold from 56 to 81, while the better three and four scores sold from 74 to 145 for crossbreds and 140 for merinos. Merino weathers sold to 146. This is David Monk at CDLX for MLA.
Let's go to Yash Sheep and Lambs and Graham Richard.
Good afternoon, Michael. Lamb numbers eased to 7,000. The quality was mixed with only limited numbers of prime lambs. Most were lightweights lacking condition. Restockers and feeders purchased most of the two score lambs, lifting prices 10 to 15. With the lightweight 78 to 117, trade weights to feed on 112 to 138. Trade lambs are firm on limited numbers, with the 18 to 22 kilos 122 to 145, averaging 620 to 640. Heavy lambs are 10 to 15 cheaper with less competition than last week, 140 to 156, with extra heavy lambs to 182. Trade merinos 92 to 106 and hoggets 140. Mutton numbers ease slightly to 6,000. Quality vary. Prices are 8 to 10 dearer on the better sheep, with the medium weight 80 to 110. Heavy crossbred ewes 122 to 137, averaging 380 to 420. And this has been Graham Richard at Yass.
Thanks, Graham. Let's go to Mossvale Cattle now. David Kent.
Good afternoon. Good rainfall throughout the region contributed to a significant decrease in numbers for a total yarding of 659 good quality cattle. There were some excellent lines of vealers and yearlings suitable for the trade, half the number of cows of previous weeks, and good runs of weaners suiting restockers. All usual buyers were operating, selling to a much dearer trend. Vealer steers up to 20 dearer, averaging 293, and the heifer portion up to 58 cents dearer to average 287. Medium weight trade yearling steers up 17, 265 to 328, and those over 400 kilo up to 33 dearer, 250 to 318. Yearling heifers to processors up 38, 222 to 343. weaner steers to restockers, 30 dearer, 195 to 271, and weaner heifers returning the paddock, 26 cents dearer, 167 to 240. A limited number of feeder steers with 13 deer at average 247. There was not enough feeder heifers or grown heifers to quote. Grown steers were firm, topping at 243. Medium weight D2 cows up 22, 119 to 140. And heavy 3 and 4 score cows, 8 to 12 deer are 135 to 160 cents per kilogram. This is Dave Kent at Moss Isle for MLA.
Thanks, Dave. And we couldn't bring you Finlay today. Sorry, apologies for that. We weren't able to locate the reporter today. And we've got a text on the dairy, the final text on the dairy from Tony at Bega, saying great news about the end of cheap milk. He works on a dairy, so he's hoping he's going to get a 10% pay rise next week. You're listening to The Country Hour. It's coming up to news time.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.